meeting to order for purposes of having some more budget hearings. We'll have some more council members join us, but we are scheduled to begin at 3 o'clock. I've got 3 o'clock. Councilman Sheldon will not be joining us. Currently present is Councilperson Woods, Tackett, Bell, Hollins, Kilpatrick, and Councilman Smiley will be chairing the meeting. For the record, so everybody can huff and puff and get it out of the way so it's not going on during the thing. As you're well aware, the co-chairs of finance put the agenda together. We do not collaborate with everyone, otherwise we'd never be able to get an agenda put together. In doing so, there are times that we create difficulties for people, and we understand that and we adjust accordingly. With that, we will be going to the county executive first. After that, at a request, because we've created the situation, we'll go to the sheriff and then follow through with the rest of the agenda. So with that, Councilwoman Diller has joined us. If we could have the county executive FY18 recommended budget. You will find a paper copy in front of you. That is a duplicate of the book that we've already received. She was just being efficient to make sure that there was enough copies were present in the room. So, as you speak, we now have seven. What's your pleasure on the minutes of April 1st and 2nd? All in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Not voting. Minutes are approved. Okay, please, as you present, those of you it's the first time, some of you have been doing it so long, it'll be automatic. Just identify yourself for the record and then begin.
Thank you, Sheriff Smiley. I am Kathleen Jennings, the Chief Administrative Officer for Newcastle County. Good afternoon, everyone.
Hi.
Before you is the Executive Office budget proposal for FY18. I can go through this in some detail if you would like. To give you some highlights, the total amount requested for FY18 is $2,433,738, which represents a reduction from FY17 of $18,031. Good afternoon, President Karen Hartley-Nagle.
As long as she's mentioned it, let me clear on the record that President Nagle has joined us.
There are currently 14 positions in the county executive's office. That is the same number of positions that were budgeted for FY17. Those positions are broken down on page one. There is currently one vacancy in the executive office, occasioned by the appointment of Tracy Searles as general manager for special services, and the appointment of Rashad Taylor as deputy CIO for the county. So that has occasioned a vacancy in Mr. Taylor's previous position in constituent relations. The page two sets forth our budget history. As you will see, in FY17, there was a spike in the budget that was attributable primarily to increases in the contingencies for economic development and for communications. In the FY18 budget recommendation, the contingency fund is cut in half from $110,000 to $55,000. Those reductions are offset primarily by increased personnel expenses that are fixed. That includes salaries as of April, as well as built-in benefits. You will see that page three sets out the detail of the costs driving the budget request. 86% of those costs are personnel, as noted, salaries and benefits. The remainder are detailed on pages 6 through 8 of the proposal. While the budget request indicates there are no vacancies, as I told you, that was as of March 1, but currently there is one vacancy that we intend to fill. Page 9 sets out the overall challenges and goals of the county executive, Matt Meyer. They are all important. They are major goals, which I think we all share in county government, the council, and the executive office included. And that is to instill a culture of excellence throughout county government, upgrade our communications infrastructure, continue to enhance our park and library systems to be responsive to the needs of the communities we serve, ensure greater levels of public safety, improve the land planning process, increase our infrastructure for multimodal transportation corridors. Say that fast three times. And partner with private and other government entities to jointly solve our mutual problems. Pages 11 and 12 spell out the details of our contractual services budget lines. Of note is the change in lobbying fees. The county executive entered into a lobbying contract, as you know, with Rogerio Wilson and Associates in January of this year. It is a six-month contract duration with a cost of $4,000 per month for a total of $24,000. The contract ends at the close of the General Assembly at the end of June. The budgeted amount for the year is $36,000. As you will see, we also terminated the grant writing contract, which resulted in a cost saving of, I believe, $23,000. That is a wake top summary of our overall executive office budget request, and I invite you to comment.
Thank you very much. Councilman Hollis.
On the contingency, did I understand you to say that there was a reduction in the contingency?
That's right.
Cut in half.
It was cut in half.
At the
$110,000 to $55,000.
Brian Maxwell, Chief Financial Officer. There are two contingencies. One in economic development that was in the current fiscal year $100,000. Mm-hmm. The recommendation for fiscal year 18 is to have that at $50,000. And then the Office of Communication, there's a $10,000 contingency in the current year. We're recommending a $5,000 contingency for fiscal year 18. So that would go from 110, the two combined, down to 55.
Okay, my confusion is that last week we talked about a $400,000 contingency, and it's the same as last year.
That's a totally separate. That's a
so there's two contingencies.
There's actually four contingencies if you were to think about it. There's one in economic development, one in Office of Communications, one in the county exec has a contingency which is separate from this budget, and then there's county council that has a contingency.
Right, county council's contingency was there last week, and I followed up last week to say, are there any significant contingencies other than what appeared to us last week? And I guess these are not considered significant for any department.
Well, they were just recently added, I think, in fiscal year 17, and so they might have just been an oversight in our presentation last week, but
okay.
Full disclosure.
Thank you.
And both of those have been reduced.
Yes.
50% in this budget, just to clarify.
Thank you, Brian.
Any other questions? Any members of council? Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So basically, I mean, when you look at the overall budget, it's reduced by $18,000. But numbers of personnel, other than some reductions in contractual services and contingency, you know, it's basically the same budget as it was. Very, very small decrease. Am I correct?
In the executive office.
Yep.
Yes, the number of budgeted positions are the same. And so you are correct. 86% of our budget is salaries and benefits.
Understood. And one other question. On the state lobbying efforts.
Yes.
What type of services will they provide as far as reports back to both the legislative, you know, the administrative and the legislative branch? Because one of the problems we've had in the past is that, and I have a true respect and appreciation for especially Councilman Smiley that spends a lot of time on our behalf down in the state legislature and checks and balancing things, but seems like there's been a failure of really getting legislative reports back from Dover through our state lobbying efforts. So will that change? Is that something that we can expect on a regular basis as far as reports back to the council?
One of the chief executive's goals is transparency and communication. And so certainly we can and should communicate with our lobbyists, which we do, on any significant developments. They're down there every day, as you can imagine. And there are eyes and ears on upcoming legislation, as well as letting us know what efforts we are making, the progress on efforts we are making. And we all have the same goal here in county government, and that is to maximize our revenue and minimize the risk to that revenue. So we should be and will be reporting back to you on a regular basis with respect to that.
Thank you, Mr.
Chair. I want to recognize Councilman Cartier has joined us. Also, just want to make comment for the record for clarification. Though this budget shows an $18,031 reduction over FY17, at the same time, it has absorbed the pay increases and the increase in health care costs in this budget, as well as the reduction, which everybody's budget is getting hit with the health care increase and the pay increases. So
that's correct.
That is a big part of the picture as well.
And thank you for pointing that out. We have a figure for that increased cost, I believe, Ryan, in terms of the salary and health care increases that are in the executive budget for this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's Ryan Maxwell, Chief Financial Officer. It's the items. So if we were to take personnel costs out of the equation and benefit costs, there would have actually been about a $78,000 reduction to the county exec budget.
Thank you for pointing that out, and good afternoon, Councilman.
Hey, there's a vacancy. I'm just trying to build on my resume. Any further questions from any members of council? Anything from the public? Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone. Best of luck.
Okay, moving right along, Sheriff's Office, FY18.
Good afternoon, and thank you for the opportunity to present our FY2018 budget. Before I get into the presentation, I'd just like to introduce a few members of the Sheriff's Office who are here with me. First of all, I'm Sheriff Samuel D. Pratcher, and over here to my left is Chris McBride, Chief Deputy Gary Hutz behind me, and Chief Deputy Sheriff Ron Ferravante.
And before you get going, I recognize Councilman Powers has joined us. You're up, sir.
Please note that our FY2018 budget has a very modest expenditure increase of 3.5%. If you go to pages 3 and 4, you'll see that. That's a 3.5% increase over the FY17 approved budget, and a revenue projection of $4,658,000, which is an increase from our FY17 approved budget revenue projections of $3,838,049. It is our opinion that revenues are expected to continue to outpace expenditures by 225%. It is very difficult for our office to predict with certainty the number of properties that will be sold in a fiscal year, which is why our revenue numbers fluctuate. We rely on current trends and past experience to arrive at our projected revenue, and I've always attempted to provide a projected revenue amount that was both reasonable and obtainable. Given these factors, I believe that our revenue projections for FY2018 meets those standards. As for our expenditures, it should be noted that personal costs represent 84.2% of our budget, and IGS costs represents 9.9% of the budget. Together, these two budgetary items represent 94.1% of our total budget. In other words, these are increases which we have very little, if any, control over. There are only two budget line items that I'm requesting an increase, and these are very small increases. If you look at page 9, you'll see a $150 increase for telephone services and a $30 increase for car washes. Both of these reflect my commitment to responsible spending. New programs. In August 2016, we began sending electronic bulk returns to all three counties and chancery court, improving efficiency, accuracy, and reliability to this process. With these recent conversions by the Court of Common Pleas to be the same vendor Superior Court and Chancery Court use to manage their court files, we anticipate adding CCP to our electronic bulk return process during fiscal year 2018. The electronic bulk return process has been a real benefit in terms of time, personnel and court time, as well as resources. Our experience and expertise has allowed the other two sheriff's offices, Kent and Sussex, to convert to our system and realize the same efficiencies and savings. 2017, significant accomplishments. Our most recent figures indicate a revenue projection of $5.4 million. We processed and served 28,000 court documents requiring over 50,000 service trips. We maintain a 76% success rate of completion of services. We've enhanced our website by adding after sheriff sale assistance information relative to when the previous owner occupant must legally vacate the property. FY 2018 challenges. While foreclosure actions continue to fluctuate, in recent months there have been an increase in the number of foreclosure sales setups. While it's difficult to predict if this increase will remain consistent during FY18, a significant number of homeowners are still struggling or failing to meet their mortgage and financial obligations, resulting in continued above normal foreclosure activity. The Sheriff's Office will continue to seek ways to improve services and reduce operating costs. Technology improvements. The Sheriff's Office is on a relentless pursuit to implement technology improvements whenever and wherever applicable. Most recently, we added the ability to serve electronic returns to Superior and Chancery Court in all three counties, and we are anticipating adding Court of Common Pleas to this list in the very near future. If you would turn to page 7, we'll talk a little bit about diversity, workforce diversity. The Sheriff's Office is committed to workforce diversity, and our current staffing reflects gender and racial diversity. The Sheriff's Office is staffed by 21 employees, 11 are female, and 10 are male. As you can see, there is only a slight change of 3.5% in our FY 2018 budget, and our revenues more than double our expenses. The Sheriff's Office will continue to look for efficiencies within our workforce. This concludes our budget presentation. At this time, I'll be glad to answer any questions that you may have about the budget. Thank you.
Any questions from any members of council? Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. From the standpoint of your vehicles, over the past few years, this council has been adamant about working with the administration on replacing all the older and antiquated vehicles that the Sheriff's Department had. Can you kind of bring us up to date as to where we are as far as our current fleet in the Sheriff's Department? Have all the vehicles been replaced at this point? And you know, where exactly are we with that?
I know that all of our vehicles have not been replaced, but I want to defer to the Chief Deputies to give you a more
update as of that. Ron Fioravanti, Newcastle County Sheriff's Office. We have two vehicles that still date back to 2005 that haven't been replaced. It's my understanding that they are being ordered and that they're supposed to be come in sometime during the fiscal year 2018.
Okay.
Other than that, the majority of our fleet, the rest of our fleet is all 2015 vehicles, and we have had a reduction in the fuel consumption, so it's significantly saved us some money by going to the newer vehicles.
And the two new vehicles, what type?
They're supposed to be Chevrolet Impalas to go along, except they're either going to be 17s or 18s. I'm not sure which year vehicles we're actually going to get.
So all your vehicles at this point, even with the two replacements coming in, would pretty much be sedan-type vehicles?
Yes, they're all four-door, mid-sized cars.
And does that satisfy the needs of our Sheriff's Department as far as the delivery of service and transport and things of that nature?
It does.
Councilman Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sheriff, I don't know if I misunderstood you or not on the revenues. For fiscal 2017, there was $4,800,000. And I thought you said it was going up. What I see here, the fiscal 18 is printed that it's going down. Is that correct?
Yes, what you see here. But the actual recommended for 2017, FY 2017, you won't find in this budget, budget manual, that would be the 2017.
Maybe I'm looking at the wrong number.
That number is not included.
Okay, this is 17, this is 18.
Right.
This got the same thing.
That number has changed since
this was present.
Since this was present.
Oh, okay, thank you.
We have a projection now of $5.4 million.
Okay, all right. Yeah, all right, thank you.
Justin Carter.
I misunderstood the question.
All right.
Thank you, Sheriff Pratt, you're welcome. Glad you received your presentation today. We on council always like to see our row offices running their expenditures below their revenues and deriving revenues for the county. Yours would be the exception in that, you know, you're a barometer of the economic stress of the housing market.
Yes.
And it's a very sad commentary that we are still experiencing somewhat of a foreclosure crisis. It's not your fault, it's not your control. I think it bears, I'm glad you brought it up and you put it out here at the table for council members to think about. And even in the midst of this recovery, economic recovery from the Great Recession, we still are tremendously burdened with, and our communities are burdened with this problem of instability in home ownership. And I just wanted to put another thing out for you to think about. And I think your predecessor, in the midst of the crisis, he was working with this office during the worst of it. And he made a great point of when a sale, sheriff sale went forward and the person lost the property, which is very tragic, he would try to find whatever proceeds that were in excess from the sale and direct that back to the original homeowner. And I hope that you can be as diligent in that regard as he was and provide a little bit of solace in the midst of that tragedy people experience with a sheriff's sale and home ownership loss.
It's our intent to continue to try to find those people and if they have any excess funds to get that back to the rightful owners.
Thank you.
Any further questions, any members? Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sheriff, on the flip side of as far as our vehicles and everything, from the standpoint of safety equipment for our personnel, ballistic vests, things of that nature, everything up to date. Is there any replacements needed in that realm or in good shape?
I believe that we're in good shape in terms of the vests, weapons that are being used. all of the officers and equipment. But what we don't want to do is we don't want to start equipping them like police officers, because they're certainly not law enforcement. So
my main concern would be for their personal safety as far as ballistic vests. In this day and age, I mean, we even have our advanced life support paramedics, you know, wearing ballistic vests and everything. So we just don't know what they're going to encounter, especially in your professional business.
I don't believe any, and Ron may be able to speak to this a little more. I don't think that anybody is, any vest is expired at this point in time.
Yeah, Rob Fioravanti, Newcastle County Sheriff's Office. That is correct. All of our vests are current. We do not anticipate making any purchases for safety equipment for FY18. I think we're good through FY19 before we're going to have to make some purchase replacements.
Okay. And just as a point of interest, you know, and I think you probably qualify for it, but the Department of Justice offers the Ballistic Vest Replacement Program cost sharing. It may be worth the while to try to go after some of that funding.
We have, again, Ron Fioravanti, Newcastle County Sheriff's Office, we have dipped into that fund, and we have piggybacked with the Newcastle County Police Department on obtaining those funds.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you, Sheriff.
Thank you.
Anything further from any members of council? Anything from the public? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Next year, you will be last. Start making your plans now. Work of the peace, please.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Ken Walden, Clerk of Police from Newcastle County. My Chief Deputy Lee Sedera. Got a little nervous over there sitting listening to the sheriff talk. Councilman Bell start talking about old antiquated equipment that was no good anymore, and three council people turned and looked at me in the corner. Made me very uncomfortable. You were the first. Well, maybe it was a coincidence, but I was very uncomfortable. I just thought I'd bring that up.
I don't know if I was getting kicked at this end of the table.
Well, this time last year, I was getting ready to go to a national NACO conference where I was lucky enough to be selected as the number one clerk in the nation, so I was very proud of that. Since January, we have a new administration in Washington. And this budget hearing isn't about politics, but I just want to reflect and share with you some of the things that we've experienced here because of that and their policies. We have, since January, the end of January to be specific, seen a spike in marriages from non-citizens. We have also instituted a very serious program of identifying and helping prevent fraudulent marriages. We have identified and helped seize passports that were counterfeited and bought on the black market. We are working closely with ICE agents in this region. And our successes in the programs that we've put in place are now the reason that I am going to the next national conference for the International Association of Government Officials to build regional task forces to identify and help prevent illegal and fraudulent marriages in the nation. Very proud of that. We're going to be partnering with federal offices and my peers across the nation. And we've also seen a spike in same-sex marriages. And apparently those communities fear that there may be some changes along the way, so there is it has been, our success right now is being market driven. And we are doing all that we can do to make sure that we still apply all the necessary laws, rules, and regulations. So in a time when normally I would have predicted that our revenue would have been smaller, I am pleased to say it is not. We are bringing in more revenue than expected. And another thing that perhaps was never made clear to you, was that our office issued things called certified copies, which is basically that we're certifying marriage records. A little while back, the General Assembly, when they were looking at some of their financial crisis and problems, decided to take our $10 certified marriage fee and tack on a $15 surcharge, making it $25, and that money would go to support victims of domestic violence. There was an argument made in the General Assembly that since we marry people, that somehow, I guess that was partially our fault that happened. And since that time, and it doesn't appear on any report anywhere, and nothing that you get, Newcastle County has sent that particular program over $250,000. And statewide, with the other two counties and Vital Stats, it is closer to $750,000. And it won't be too long from now that our checks that we're sending to that program will have reached $1 million. With all of that, we continue to do more with less, try to cut wherever we can, generate more revenue wherever we can. We've continued to be very successful in that regard, and as in past years, the only increase that you see is beyond us and is attributed to salaries and benefits and union contracts and things we really have little to do with at our end. So with that, if you've had an opportunity to look at our proposal, I'll entertain any questions you have.
Madam President.
Yes, I just wanted to ask, with the what you're sharing with us is the increase in cracking down federally on compliance, will there be an increase in federal grants, or will we be seeking those? Are they available?
I don't mean to be disrespectful with my response. Working with the federal government is a challenge. When they want our assistance, but that does not come with a check.
Okay.
There is no funding assistance. We are putting together the program here, Newcastle County. We are putting together the task forces regionally, showing them how to do it. We have developed the security programs. We have been overwhelmingly successful, which is why we have been selected to go to these conferences and teach other states, every other state, what we do and how we do it, and help them form their alliances and their regional task forces.
So it sounds like there is a cost that comes with this that we will have to address.
That is correct.
Okay.
Councilman Hall.
Council President's question is similar to mine, maybe going in a different direction. She used the term cracking down. And when I heard you say that we were getting more marriages from non-citizens, I'm wondering, what are you using for probable cause? Are you doing something different, apparently? Are you going to be teaching other jurisdictions? Or are we profiling because someone comes in wearing a turban or that kind of thing?
No, that's part of the training.
Okay.
That's what we're teaching people not to do. When I use the generic term fraudulent marriages, it has everything to do from the sex trade, which is unfortunately growing in the nation. It has to do with individuals who don't know each other until they come into our office to get the license, and that's where they meet, and there's brokers involved. It has to do with the marketplace where people can buy counterfeited passports and other documents they need to come to this country and get married. We're just responding to a situation that hit us. We're not creating the situation. We have worked with our staff in the federal government. We now have, I'll just tell you, we have a website we can go to. I don't care what country you're from. You carry a passport, my staff can get into a database and find the three key security things that we look for on there that other people wouldn't know about to verify if it's accurate or not. And depending on what we do find, it might tell us where you got your passport. There are a whole bunch of problems that come after the fact that we marry these individuals. All we're trying to do is be proactive. And marriage fraud is a crime. It comes in a variety of different flavors. And it's probably the individuals responding to your concern about profiling. In fact, it's the individuals you least expect, rather than those that you might most expect. So with that, there are a number of things we put in place, establishing the alliances and the relationships with the local federal authorities, local state authorities, and putting together and sharing the information in the regional task forces and things of that nature. And I never thought this would be part of what I do. I'm not real thrilled with having to do it.
I just wonder, you know, what do you have in terms of determining if someone walks into your office that you're going to go through the extra step to make certain that they have all the necessary documentation?
Well, that's
I served with a lot of people in the military that are not from this country, that are fighting to protect this country.
I agree.
If someone comes in with that look or that dress or
well,
whatever.
Well, it's not just that. I mean, they come in with passports that don't have...
Excuse me. You are?
Lisa Dare.
Thank you.
They don't have birth certificates on them. They don't have water seals on them. And we can call a number, and they can say it was issued at this date, this time. They were allowed to come into this country, or no, they're not in our system at all. Can you hold them there? Can you have a ceremony set up in your office? Can we come back there? So there are specific steps that we take.
It has nothing to do with what they wear, what country they're from, when, as we go through the same process with every individual. And if going through that process, we discover that we're looking at fraudulent documents and the ones that were obviously manufactured elsewhere or provided elsewhere, when the flags go up and the bells ring and the whistles blow, that's what, it's usually a paper thing. It's something with a piece of paper that draws our attention to it. Nothing else.
If that's what's going on, I have to ask the question because I don't necessarily approve of all of the policies coming out of Washington today, and I don't approve of what happened down in the General Assembly just last week.
I agree.
The Muslims were insulted for doing a Muslim prayer. So I want to make certain we're not heading in that direction. So that's why I'm asking the question.
As a matter of fact, the irony of what you just brought up, and this wasn't going to be part of my presentation either. I've had the pleasure of talking with, and I hope the term's correctly, an imam, an individual who is a leader in the Muslim community, who said, you need to work with me, explain to me, because I don't really understand when our membership comes and we sanction, we help them put together this marriage bond and everything, and we approve, and they're married. And I said, well, you recognize their marriage. If you want the state of Delaware to recognize their marriage, just like if they were Methodist or Catholic or Hebrew Jewish, I mean, then they have to get a license. Because there was a time when the Muslim community in Newcastle County did not get licenses, and then didn't understand why people didn't realize. So we went to the mosque, and we worked with them, and we put together educational programs and things of that nature. And haven't had a problem since. The problem now is we get abundance of papers that are obvious to us are not what we should be looking at from the people that are handing them to us, and then that opens up other doors.
Okay.
And that's what we're doing.
Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Thank you. Off of that subject, when you talked about the money that goes over to the Domestic Violence Fund, and you mentioned that there would not be a paper trail, that we would not see that anywhere, are we not seeing that anywhere on our side, or are we not seeing that documented on the state side?
Our side.
Okay.
I'm just telling you that in the revenue that we generate here, we're showing our $10 of that $25.
Okay.
And the revenue numbers that we present to you do not show the larger portion of that $15 that we sent to the domestic violence.
Question, how do they pay
the additional 15.
They pay it all at one time.
They pay it all at one time.
It goes into...
So somewhere in county finance, they segregate it out.
Correct. Very successfully, and we send it to them, I think, quarterly.
So we've got to have a record in finance.
I didn't mean that it wasn't, that it was being hidden.
No, it's not in your budget anywhere.
Correct.
But on as you said, on our county side and our finance department, it's got to show where that's being segregated out.
And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, because those dollars are desperately needed, especially in that program.
I'm just wondering, we'll have the discussion about if we stop sending it and see if they sue us.
I would not stop sending it.
So well, I'm not asking you to do it. I'm going to sacrifice someone younger. Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess with that same thought process of transfer tax going to the state and in a very inequitable fashion does play back in Newcastle County, do we have any checks and balances that the upwards to $1 million now that you're contributing to domestic violence, that it's actually coming back to domestic violence in Newcastle County, Delaware?
It is my understanding that the money we generate here, its original intent was to be spent in Newcastle County. And that the money is generated by Vital Statistics, which is a statewide operation, is then divvied up proportionately.
Go ahead.
And just the point is, I think that would bear a little bit more research from the standpoint that I think the state has an obligation back to the counties to quantify where this money is being spent. And if it's being generated and managed properly by our clerk of peace and staff, I certainly would think that it should be spent back in the county it came from for domestic violence.
I would agree. Councilman Powers.
Yeah, I was just saying I agree that the percentage should be the same. Whatever is generated should go in the county it's generated.
The only thing I can tell you is that in the initial talks and the planning, that was the original intent. Whether it ever happens, I have no idea.
I guess the original intent of the transfer fees using them for ag land preservation was the intent that the monies would be spent in the county where they come, because you were preserving farms within the county where the building was going on. It has not been done on the state level, so my angle is it's probably not being done here.
Yep.
You need to see where the numbers are going.
We will inquire. We'll find out where we inquire. Okay. Anything further, many members of council? Councilman Bell.
Yeah, I'm not going to pass up the opportunity. I pretty much do it every year. But I think that we have exceptional row officers, and I think you and your staff and other staff and the row officers do just a tremendous and valuable job for the citizens of the county. So, known you a long time. Keep up the good work.
Thank you very much. Have a great day, everybody. Give us a call if you have any questions.
Any questions, any members of the public? Hearing none, I guess he's done. Okay, next, if we can have a recorder of deeds, please.
For the record, Michael E. Kozakowski, Sr., Newcastle County, Recorder of Deeds. Good afternoon, Council President, my fellow colleagues, departmental staff, and citizens of Newcastle County. Before I begin with the ROD FY 2018 recommended budget, I'd like to take this opportunity to recognize my senior staff. Please stand. Chief Deputy Tom Ferrier, Office Administrator Ed Dale, Acting Office Administrator and ROD Information Coordinator Lisa Shellam. Thank you. During my 35 years in the private sector and 14 years as your Recorder of Deeds, I have come to understand the importance of what it takes for a business and government culture to be successful. Our success is directly related to the effectiveness and efficiencies of the employees providing the variety of services requested by the internal and external customers and the decisions, directives, and policies implemented by its leadership. With that being said, your Recorder of Deeds office is successful due to the four areas of business concentration that my senior staff, and I have implemented over the past 14 years. These four areas are customer service, continuous improvement, fiscal responsibility, and educational opportunity. These four areas of business concentration have provided and produced many positive outcomes and improved services for our customers. Following Council's recommended information request form, here are the major factors affecting any increases, decreases, and percentages from the previously approved budget. For FY 2018, the ROD is requesting $2,317,684, a 0.99% increase over the 2017 approved operating budget. Looking at our department object levels, you can clearly see that the majority of our expenses are related to the personnel cost at 85.1%. Increases are in salaries and wages, $1,277,757, a 0.52% increase of $6,643 from the previous budget. Employee benefits are $711,311, a 4.35% increase of $29,677 compared to last year. The object level decreases is in our IGS costs, $158,333, a minus 7.85%, a decrease of $13,496 from last year. The six remaining object levels are at 0%, the same dollar amounts as requested in the FY 2017 operating budget. To establish that the ROD demonstrates sound fiscal responsibility, the budget that we are requesting for FY 2018 is approximately $84,000 less than the approved budget that I introduced back in 2011. The chart on page 4 clearly depicts the history of the last 8 years of the Recorder of Deeds fiscal responsibility. Now, when you look at the actual expenditures from 2011 through 2016, the ROD returned to the general fund approximately $700,000 of unexpended budgeted dollars due to cost-effective measures taken by partnering with our information systems department. We in the ROD take great pride in being very frugal with our citizens' tax dollars. Next, departmental goals, highlights, activities, and accomplishments for the current fiscal year. Some of our many goals and accomplishments are, well, first and foremost, to generate over $7 million in revenue, fill the vacant senior staff and general staff job descriptions by the end of FY 2017, continue recording the 1,017 common interest community governing documents at no cost, reintroduce Senate Bill 296. This legislation will make it mandatory for lending institutions to record a change of address in the ROD office. Continue with the ROD staff, the empowerment, continuous improvement meetings, which have provided the Recorder of Deeds with the means to establish new and innovative ways for the betterment of our internal and external customers. Continue educational training programs with Junior Achievement of Delaware. Continue to promote the Recorder of Deeds web videos in the community. Continue to provide the real estate industry with impeccable customer service. continue to provide our customers with informational and educational materials, and last but not least, increasing the numbers of documents that we record electronically. Currently, 27% of all the documents recorded are done electronically. The remaining 73% are generated by walk-in and mail customers. Since 2005, the Recorder of Deeds Technology Fund has generated over $1.4 million. These tech dollars have provided the row offices and governmental departments with a plethora of technological upgrades. For example, since 2010, the fund has allocated approximately $300,000 for public safety, for the DNA database, the 911 Smart, the targeted analytical policing system, and other technological initiatives. $600,000 went to our row offices for upgrades, and $100,000 to Newcastle County TV. Earlier, you received the Current Tech Fund financial report for the end of March 2017 that I placed early before the meeting. On average, the two funds are generating approximately $17,000 to the Recorder Deeds Fund and $11,000 for the Newcastle County Department Fund monthly. The balance as of March 2017 for both funds are ROD $247,790, Newcastle County $123,120. Planned departmental programs for FY 2018, challenges, goals, and accomplishments. One, to generate over $7.3 million. Two, begin software upgrades to the imaging retrieval system and upgrade public access and cashiering modules by the first quarter of 2018. Three, create the Homeownership Association portal approved by council this past October and will be implemented by partnering with Information Systems. The portal will provide free access for all related CIC governing documents to our customers. This project will complete the CIC 360 action plan. Our goal is to begin the project by the end of the third quarter in FY 2018. Four, begin the e-recording delivery process to implement and launch the deed document type and the single routing system for the Newcastle County municipalities collecting transfer tax by the first quarter of FY 2019. Five, continue redacting social security numbers and identifiable information from daily recorded records. Completing the mortgage book project from 2000 back to 1996, a cost savings of $143,000 if the project was outsourced. Seven, rescan the compact deed books from 1969 forward. Next on the list, personnel. Our staffing numbers remain the same compared to the FY 2017 at 27 full-time employees. We currently have five vacant positions. Two of the positions vacant are account clerk three, vacant since 5/4/2013, and a deputy two position vacant since 12/31/2014. The remaining three vacant positions are in the hiring process. The positions in order to be filled are account clerk one, recorder of deeds office administrator, and clerk typist. When we have fulfilled our staffing needs, my senior staff will begin our project timeline as previously mentioned. On page 12, I have a position adjustment request to increase my recorder of deeds office administrator from a pay grade 24 to a 25. The additional tasks and responsibility have been amended in the job description and approved by the Human Resources Department. Due to the technological improvements in the document recording industry and the additional responsibilities to our internal and external customers, I see the need to reward this specific and important management position. Details on contractual services. After reviewing the ROD budgets back to 1996, I found that approximately $650,000 was appropriated and approved for contractual and intergovernmental services. During my first term, instead of requesting an RFP to bring in a new vendor for the ROD software and hardware services, we decided to partner with the Information Systems Department. This partnership improved efficiencies and reduced our bottom line for contractual services from $650,000 a year to our current FY 2018 object level request of $219,701. This successful partnership with our Information Systems Department gave my senior staff and I the opportunity to reduce our operating budgets and return $1.3 million back to the general fund over the past 10 years. Updated programs and services based on performance standards. First, web revenue is up 4.24% compared to FY16 at $210,425. Corporate revenue is down 0.052% compared to FY2016 at $1,170,253.78. Documents recorded are up 10.37% compared to FY2016, 66,100 documents recorded. Documents in dollars are up 16.39% compared to FY2016 at $5,743,225.50. To ensure that the ROD is competitive with other ROD counties for the various fees assessed, we have included a fee schedule comparison with counties from the tri-state area. This methodology provides the ROD with the necessary cost comparisons that allows us to determine and justify if any increase is valid. This concludes my FY 2018 budget presentation to council and to the citizens of Newcastle County. Are there any questions?
Before I move on, I have one. The two vacancies that you have in your office.
Yes.
Do they remain funded in this budget?
Yes.
Okay. So I want to know. Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Thank you. Mike, I might have missed this, but when we were talking about the community documents being filed, you know, between us and the state.
Governing documents.
Yeah. Are you seeing, how many, do you have a percentage of what you're seeing? Like, if it was revenue, are you seeing a big loss, or are there not many people taking advantage of it?
Since it's only been since September, we are tracking it.
Okay.
I will be glad to collect that quantitative information and provide council with that information. But I do not have that with me today.
Okay, thanks.
Any questions, any other members of council? Councilman Bell, then Councilman Cartier.
Job well done.
Thank you, sir.
As usual, you and your staff. When I look at vacancies, look at 19% out of 27 that are still vacant. And Councilman Smiley, Chairman Smiley asked about the other two being funded. But when you say hiring in the process, when I look at from 2015 or even from 12-9 to 2016, how long does it take us to fill positions when we say they're in the process?
Okay, these three positions that are in the process right now, two of them, one of them was a transfer, two transfer or one transfer, Ed? Went to a different department. So these have been actually just occurred. The recorded deeds office administrator, Renee Boyle, retired the end of December. So it's only been a few months since we've
been
looking at it. Those other two positions are definitely on the table for consideration. The two vacant positions from, as council.
So you're receiving the cooperation and support of our HR department in getting these positions filled?
We will do what we have to do.
And so will we.
Absolutely. And you know I'm right along with that.
That's what I'm telling you.
Thank you. Mike, once again, an excellent report on the Recorder Deeds Office.
Thank you.
Remain a real support through your activities for the general fund of this county over the years, inserted to the tune of millions of dollars. And that's great. I just want to go back. You said your IGS costs were reduced.
Yes.
Could you just review that for me again?
Uh,
was the main area or reason why you were able to do that?
Go to page 29. Look under object level at the very last IGS cost. Okay, for FY 2017 approved. Right. Okay, and you see there's a difference. That's pretty much what I conveyed. But the important factor is, you know, as I mentioned in my presentation, is that when we partnered with information systems, we created such a dynamic, because around the country, most of your recorded deeds offices were using vendors for their hardware and software needs.
Right.
And those costs, as you can see, were $650,000, or approximately somewhere there. Okay, we do our own indexing. Some actually allocate that to the vendor. So there's probably, in some counties, a definitely higher amount that they're allocating. But what that partnership created over time is that it not only helped provide that type of customer service that we were looking for in the recorder of deeds, information systems was able to provide that, and they were able to better and improve those services for our internal government services and out to our customer. So that partnership is, we've done very well with that partnership.
Thank you.
Any other members of council have questions? Anyone from the public? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Register well, please.
Court has to hand us.
Good afternoon, members of council. My name is Cyril Poppity. I have the honor of being the Register of Wills here in the county. First of all, I'd like to say it's a blessed time of the year, a very holy week for many faiths, so I want to wish everyone a blessed Passover and a happy Easter. It will be hopefully a happy time in the Poppity household this week. Secondly, I really came to say thank you. Thank you to council, because let's remember back 2 years ago, the row officers came to you and asked you for funding for parking here in the building for our employees. And I just wanted to report back and say, yes, thank you. It's an extraordinary, maybe a small gesture in terms of the big budget, but it's an extraordinary gesture in how we appreciate our employees. Since January, I have three vacancies. They are funded for this budget, but as things happen, we have three vacancies in the past few months. And so now I have to ask my staff to do more, because there's fewer people right now in the office. And instead of low morale, I can tell you that morale is good because they feel appreciated. And a lot of that appreciation goes to those parking passes. So I really want to say thank you to council for that. My budget is virtually the same as last year, so at this point I ask if there's any questions.
Any questions, Mr. Councilman Bell?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, and thank your staff for the job that you do. I know that Bill and I especially appreciate your initiatives in the southern part of Newcastle County. You always have a way of trying to reach out to folks when maybe they're unable to come into the city and everything. So we applaud your efforts. Great job as usual, and we thank you and your staff.
Thank you. And on that note, I really have to thank the two women who helped me with our Middletown evening hours, Virginia Gokul and Tracy Henn. Thank you, ladies, because sometimes Sarah doesn't want to go down, right? Because I have a full schedule too. And without any extra pay and without any gripe, they pick up the baton from me and say, "Hey, we'll pick up the baton this month for you." So I really have to say thank you.
Very much appreciated,
Jocelyn Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It appears as though the increase is due largely to the equipment replacement at 150%. What is...
Yes. Tracy Hunt, could you comment on that, please?
Thank you. Tracy Hunt, Office Administrator, Registered Wells. Good afternoon.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm on the call. How are you doing? The increase is actually not a budgetary increase. There were funds moved out of variable costs in the intergovernmental service cross charges for premium duplication to move it into office equipment replacement. We have a lot of equipment that needs to be replaced, and we're still looking to buy a sufficient fireproof cabinet for safekeeping needs. So we just moved the money to more
lines. I'm attributing that to being responsible for the, attributing to the 4.35, I believe, percent increase. And you're saying that's not?
No, most of our cost is mainly driven by personnel
costs.
Yes.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
Councilman Powers.
Yes, I want to thank you for coming down. And I can understand because it's the same going the other way.
Never heard that before.
You may not. Come down my way.
Good Councilman Cartier.
Thank you. Sir, I think you've been modest. You're being very modest. You've shown real leadership in this office over the past few years, and has to be applauded. Not only... you know, extending hours to our folks in the southern New Castle County and Middletown, which I think has been a very creative and sensitive and worthy thing to do. But also, you launch an initiative to clear up the back due estates, mm-hmm. and I wonder if you could just update us on to dollars recovered, where that initiative stands, because I think, you know, that's got to be a hard row to hoe there to get all those estates up to work, up to stuff for revenue purposes.
It has been, but it's been very worthwhile in terms of going back and making sure all the estates have been closed. We're going to have a big sort of closing announcement sometime this year because we are narrowing in on actually closing or bringing up to date the 3,000 estates that were stale when I took over. So this year it will be a cap year, more to follow on that as the year progresses. Just in terms of revenue, we are closing in on almost $4 million having been recovered. That's revenue for the county, and I can say that it has been audited this year because we were audited by our county auditor, so the numbers that I'm saying are accurate. And I think it's a reason that we have had five of the top seven revenue years in the history of the office. You know, the numbers prove themselves. That being said, I'm very proud of the fact that we're not in a backlog, that we have been very conscientious since 2011 to stay on top of the stale estates, and at current, we are current each year since 2011.
Excellent, thank you.
Any other council members? Two things. One, Council, we will be addressing legislation that will incentivize the closing of estates more expeditiously so as to avoid future backlogs. Look forward to that. We'll be moving that very shortly. And second, and on a personal note, over this past fiscal year, I had more occasions to visit your office than anyone should have to have. And I want to say I really appreciate the staff, the way they work. I don't go down there as a council member. I've sat there and I've watched how they interact with other people too. And it's a very caring and responsive staff when you're not there. I know they are when you are, but I just want to tell you they are when you're not there as well. They do an outstanding job during a tough time for people, and it's appreciated very much.
I will send them your thoughts. Thank you.
No, keep it a secret. No. I have a reputation to protect. Any questions from any members of the public? Hearing none, thank you very much.
Great job.
Time for the county auditor.
First, I've got a one-page memo, which I emailed this morning, but my hard copy is also. And there's probably some extras. Anybody else in the room?
You didn't do it early enough for me.
For the record, our auditor always has to have a correction page. It worries me. But it always works out by the end of the year. You know you weren't getting off the hook.
I usually wake up in the middle of the night every night instead of Sunday.
Lieutenant Governor.
Yeah, I'll print it out.
Thank you, Co-Chair Smiley, Co-Chair Cartier, and other distinguished members of County Council for allowing me to present the County Auditor's Office's fiscal 2018 budget. Before I begin, I do want to discuss this one-page memo. Due to a misunderstanding on my part on the full-time employee benefits rate and on the amount of the IS cross charges, the red budget book has some incorrect numbers and percentages. I realized this after 45 budget books were printed, and because the difference in my budget is about $2,500, I didn't think it was really cost effective to go back to the print shop and have them do 45 new books. So I talked to the budget office and Councilman Smiley, and we agreed to do this one page. And before I begin, I wanted to introduce Lynn McIntosh, Senior Staff Auditor, and Rinku Banerjee, Staff Auditor. Rinku's coming up on her one-year anniversary. She was hired last April. Basically, on the one-page memo, on page two of the budget presentation, the actual FY 2018 recommended budget in the last column should be $445,165, an increase of 8.56%, not 7.94%. And really all the other pages kind of flow from that, but just briefly, page three, the dollar amount for personnel costs should be $327,737 instead of $323,968, and for IGS costs it should be $11,478 versus $12,709, and that changes the percentages slightly. And on page four, for employee benefits, the employee benefits in the second column for FY 2018 recommended should be $106,528. FY recommended over the FY 17 approved should be $14,661, and the increase is actually 15.96%. And down on IGS costs in the second column, it should be $11,478, an increase of $45 or 0.39%. And basically, page five has the same changes as page four. I wanted to talk about page five because most of the total increase for the county auditor's budget is about $35,000, and I wanted to touch upon the components of that. Most of that is in salaries and benefits, actually about close to $40,000 is increased in salaries and wages and employee benefits. Salaries and wages, the dollar change is $24,068. And the components of that are one, I moved $5,000 from contractual services, and you can see contractual services going down $5,500, from contractual services to part-time salaries and wages, because the part-time auditor, we've been budgeting the same amount every year for several years, even though she's been getting regular step increases. And then I end up making a budget adjustment during the year. So 5,000 of it is that. The rest of it is based upon numbers that I get from finance, which are step increases for three people, the 1% COLA increase effective April 1st, 2016, the 2% COLA effective 4/1/17, and the 2% COLA effective 4/1/18. And I just wanted to point out that my office doesn't have any funded vacancies to absorb any of that. I don't mean that as a criticism.
Yes, you do, but that's okay. That's okay, I'll take it.
And employee benefits is based on, this year the rate is 56.58, and it's a higher rate than last year. And another increase I wanted to touch upon was training in civic affairs. It's a dollar increase of $1,800. Although the dollars may not seem like much, it's a percentage increase of 54.55%. But basically now having three people in the office, we have to meet generally accepted governmental auditing standards require us to take 80 continuing professional education credits every 2 years. What we try and do as much as we can on free webinars, but occasionally we do have to attend something. And we even try and attend in Delaware. Over the years, there hasn't been a lot of out-of-state travel for my office. And that's basically it as far as the dollars. I'd open it up to any questions the council has.
Any questions from any members of council? Okay, I'm just going to touch real quick, just because you said with the size of your staff, because of the federal standards, you have to meet certain training requirements.
Yeah.
So if your staff was less, would you not have to meet those?
Yes.
I asked because of the way you phrased it, I had to ask. That's what I'm trying to
ask you.
Just trying to help you.
That's the honesty.
I think the auditor has the potential to, through his activities, more than pay for his office, and I appreciate your financial expertise in looking at how we can make county government more financially sustainable. And I know that you have performed an audit. You probably haven't released it, but on delinquent property taxes and sewer fees.
Yeah, we met with Brian Maxwell, the new CFO, and his team, and
feels like you're
okay, we met with the old CFO, and we're getting ready to issue a revised draft, and then we'll be asking for a response, and then the audit committee will review and approve, and then it becomes public. I do want to comment upon, obviously we have a new administration in office, and we need to work together as a partnership with the new administration. So we've reached out to Matt and Kathy and Brian and the new department heads, and I think so far we're working on establishing a good working relationship, having monthly meetings with Kathy to keep her up to date on any issues. And so I look forward to the next 4 years with the new administration.
Thank you.
I would like to say that myself as co-chair of finance, I can't speak for Councilman Smiley, probably several other members of council also would are very anxious to review your findings regarding delinquent property taxes and sewer fees. I think that's an arena where we can, without causing a lot of disruption in communities through the sheriff's sale process, which we already know is going to run far ahead of where they were initially projecting for this year, but where we can recover, back taxes and the sewer fees, I'm all for that, especially regarding vacant properties that owe us, vacant problem properties. I was just surprised of a problem property in one of my communities in Claymont that apparently owes us significant sewer fees. And it's just it's vacant now. It's been a real problem for the neighborhood. So I think we can identify through this audit that you're doing this problem and really quantify it and really go after it as much as we can, because we are facing a projected $8 million shortfall this year. And I think it's a long overdue area to address. People in this county, by and large, pay their taxes on time when they're due. And it's not fair to the bulk of our residents that we have outstanding obligations. Of course, we have to sort through that issue and make sure we calibrate that response in the proper manner, but I think it's an area that could be very fruitful for us financially.
Yeah, we do have a lot of suggestions, and Brian and I have talked. I mean, some can be addressed earlier, some are more long-term.
No, I think everyone looks forward to it. For myself, I look forward to it, and it's showing the true picture for Newcastle County and the school district of when we talk delinquent, we are forced, because of our positions, to talk collectible reality, not what the press chooses. And when it's released and the reality becomes that at least 50% of what the news journal wants to print is not recoverable, we will say so. I look forward to that. Councilman Powers.
You brought up taxes being paid, and as a lot of you know, my wife delivers mail. There's bills that are sent by the county to an address that's not there every year. I've brought it up in the past. I guess it doesn't hit a high enough number to collect. It's not just houses, it's all over the place. Mm-hmm. You know, part of it is somebody's just got to look, they can find these people. I mean, I've had my aide find them. They've never gotten a bill. But it's not forward to anybody. There's one we just did recently, and it was only pushed by the neighbor living next to it to push it through a court order sale because he wanted to purchase the property. Mm-hmm. And that's the only reason, this is the only reason it got paid. I'm telling you the truth. The yellow sign went up right next to it, and the guy wanted, and we tried to, he tried to get it where he could pay the taxes, calling, we were involved in that. And, finally, that bill's been sent. My wife's delivered mail for 12, 15 years, and every year the county sent a bill. Nobody's paid it. But it's finally gotten paid.
So nowadays, you have a lot more tools to find out people's real address.
Yeah, I mean, some of them, was going back on the reporter of deeds. I mean, some of the, in the beginning, the grass cutting and some of these big subdivisions, Back Creek, were not getting mowed. Nobody, my aide found them. There was a bank in Florida. But that's code didn't find them.
Any further questions from any members of council? Anything from the public? Thank you very much, sir. Anything under other?
No, go home.
Any public comment? Can I get a motion?
Motion adjourned.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Those who want to stay with me? Oh, nobody's leaving. Okay, thank you very much.